And good morning, good morning. It is Saturday. It's time for school. Let us open in prayer. Father, this morning we do come adoring the one who loved us way more than we can possibly imagine, that one being Jesus, the Savior. He is the reason that we celebrate during this season. And so, Lord, as we come to your table, full enough to eat from what you have to feed us, help us to not only digest it, but to use it to do your will. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Blog Talk, and Run for Christ Ministries.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we are. Everybody's out there. I hope you have your sheet from last week as well as your new sheet, because we only had a couple scriptures left from last week. We are still continuing in not just knowing what we believe, but the importance of knowing why we believe what we believe. And we are going through trying to identify the characteristics of authentic Christians, real Christians. I'm beginning to believe more and more that a lot of people who say they're Christians have no idea what it truly means to be authentic, reproducing essential features of Jesus. And I hope after today's lesson we'll continue, we'll get to see even more so how we're supposed to be reproducing the life of Jesus on earth. We know that first that authentic Christians tell the truth about Jesus, who he is, where he came from, what he did, where he is now. And we started last week with authentic Christians love their neighbors. They don't just say they love their neighbors. They actually put it into practice. And so we left off on our sheet where we were in the book of Acts, and we were going to go to chapter 9, and I need somebody to read Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 42.
Okay. Acts chapter 9, 32-42. Meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. There he met a man named Ananias, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your sleeping mat." And he was healed instantly. And the whole population of Lydda and Sharon and Ananias walking around, and they turned to the Lord. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which is in Greek, Dorcas. Okay, right page. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter, okay. The news spread to the whole town, and many believed in the Lord.
All right.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. So we're talking about loving your neighbor, and we know that we looked at different things about how the church, they sacrificed so that everyone's needs would be met. They didn't injure or cause stumbling blocks for those who were disabled. They met the needs of the poor. They helped the sick and torment. They distributed food between Jews and Gentiles, not discriminating. And, of course, they didn't hold grudges, as we saw in the case of Saul of Tarsus and Ananias. So now we're looking at a situation where Peter is dealing with a couple of people. How did Peter show love for his neighbors?
He healed Ananias and Tabitha.
All right. So first he healed Ananias. What was Ananias' condition?
Paralyzed.
Paralyzed.
He was paralyzed. For how many years?
8 years. 8 years.
So we're assuming that this is a grown man. So we know, and we've talked about before, that this would prevent him from doing what?
Making him provide for himself.
Self-sufficient.
To provide for, to be self-sufficient, to provide for himself, to earn a living. But who would also be affected by his condition?
His whole family.
His family. So in healing, Ananias wouldn't just be healing him, but it would also affect his family.
Yeah.
Whether they were the caregivers or whether they were the ones who were having to go out and work because he couldn't take care of them. Because, again, this is only 8 years. This wasn't from birth. So maybe he'd had an accident or a sickness that caused his paralysis. We don't know the backstory, but we just know his condition affected more than just him. All right, and then we have this other lady, Tabitha or Dorcas, because people in that region often had two names. They had a Hebrew name or Greek name and a Greek name. Like we have Saul of Tarsus. What was his Greek name?
Paul.
Paul. All right, so when people go Saul, Paul, it's just you have your birth name, and then you have your cultural name. It's very common, especially if you go to other countries, to have people will have a tribe, like in Africa, in different countries there, they'll have a tribal name, but they don't have an English name. All right, that's just a little side help. All right, what about Dorcas? What happened to her?
She got sick and died.
So she was dead. Mm-hmm. What type of person was she?
She was
that she was always doing good and helping the poor.
That was it.
Mm-hmm. So she was very active in her community, wasn't she?
Yes. Per se.
She was a lover of her neighbor, in other words.
Oh yeah,
and more than likely, it tells us who she really ministered to. Look at verse 39. Who was she? The widows. So the one of the lower people, the people who would be overlooked for care. So she was doing the work of a deaconess before she was even commissioned as a deaconess. All right, so she took care of the widows, and then she died. So I'm sure they were devastated, but what did Peter do for her?
He healed her.
Into life.
He raised her. By whose power?
God's power, Holy Spirit.
Yes. By the power of God, he did not raise her on his own. So when we look at these two situations, and this is a picture of loving your neighbor, who did the healing of this paralyzed man and the raising of Dorcas, who does that remind you of?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Raised
it looked like Jesus.
Yeah.
So Peter wasn't doing his own thing. He was continuing the work of who?
Of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Of Jesus. All right, we're leading to our next lesson in a second. All right, let's go to chapter 10. And somebody read verses 23 through 35.
So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. Amen. That was it, right? Hello?
Verse 35.
Oh, to 35. I thought it said 25. My mistake. To him. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, you know it is against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago I was praying in my house about this time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now, send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. So I sent for you at once, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here, waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Then Peter replied, I said, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. I'm sorry. For those who fear him and do what is right. Amen?
All right.
Amen.
So now, we have the story of Peter going to Cornelius' house. And Cornelius is what?
A Gentile.
He's a Gentile. He's not a Jewish person. And we know before this, Peter had the vision where the sheep get laid down and the spirit tells him to come and eat. And he's like, no, I don't eat unclean. I don't eat bacon. And the spirit tells him again, eat. And he said, don't declare anything unclean that I have declared clean.
Wow.
So now God is preparing his heart to send him to people, as he even said, you know it's not custom for a Jew to even enter a Gentile's house. In other words, before Jesus, before the Holy Spirit, I'm not coming to Cornelius' house. I'm not even entering Cornelius' house. But now, because of Jesus, I'm going to a Gentile's house. So how did he demonstrate his love for his neighbor?
He went to Cornelius' house to fellowship with him.
Okay. Somebody else?
He did things that was going to build up their relationship instead of being offensive to Cornelius.
Okay. So to sum it up, what was Peter's response in verse 34 and 35?
I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. And in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right.
So So to love your neighbor means to do what or not do what?
Not show favoritism just because of what
not
they
show favoritism.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Not show favoritism. To overcome our prejudices and our biases, because God accepts everybody. So that means that we have to understand. I mean, and it should send us back to thinking about one of the stories that Jesus told about your neighbor. Remember the parable?
Yeah.
About the man that's on his way.
The Samaritan.
And he gets robbed and beaten. Yeah, and left for dead.
Okay.
And who walked by? Who did
okay. Everybody.
Greece.
The Pharisees.
The Levites.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews didn't meet his need.
Yep.
But who met his need?
The Samaritan.
Gentile.
The Samaritan.
Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
An enemy. As we're going to look at is how deep this stuff goes with the Samaritan, an enemy. That person showed that's how you, and Jesus said, that's loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's loving your neighbor. So loving your neighbor goes beyond race, which is a human construct.
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond ethnicity, nationality. It transcends because, remember, we're
mm-hmm.
all image bearers. All right.
Classism.
So question five is simple. Yeah, all that. Yeah, because you're looking at Peter and Cornelius here, and there is a class differentiation because Cornelius is obviously someone of some means. He's definitely, he's a Gentile. He's more likely a Roman citizen. So he has a higher status than Peter in their culture.
Okay.
So what should an authentic Christian then be known for?
Helping. Loving your neighbor and not showing favoritism.
Loving the neighbor. Yeah, just loving the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
All of this sums up. Love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different examples of how to love our neighbor. All right. Y'all good?
Good.
Yeah.
Grab your new sheet.
I have a question.
Of course.
In verse 35 in Acts, when he says, but accepts from every nation, does that mean from every family or from every person? Nation equals person?
You're making me go back to the definition of nation. Well, we all know every nation extends from three people. So,
yes.
And technically from one person, because all of them came from one person. So,
okay.
From every that means from everywhere. From
okay.
Everywhere. Yep. All right. Good question. Anybody else before we move on?
Okay. As being all a
right.
Christian.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to ask, as being a Christian, if you have somebody that you know just don't like you for whatever reason, and you still, like, extend the olive branch or you feel kind, how are you supposed to go about treating that person, knowing that you've done nothing to them, but they just don't like you?
My Bible folks out there, what does the scripture say? What did Jesus
say
about those who persecute you? Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the golden
mm-hmm.
rule?
Do unto others
as
you would have them
do
unto you. Yeah, but if you're doing that, but they're not reciprocating that, then you just keep doing it? Or do you just...
Yep.
Okay. What is this? The
cause,
kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. Cause and then Jesus even talked about heaping coals of fire on their head. It's a constant reminder
yep.
to them that
okay.
you are loving them in spite of how they are not loving you. In
okay.
spite of their, because at the end of the day, as Paul tells us, as far as it lies with you, live at peace with all people. In other words, you can't control them and what they do, but you
right.
can control how you respond to what they do. And so
okay.
you just love them. And then in a deeper conversation, we would talk about how you, it depends on the depths of what's going on in that relationship. I mean, if there's an abusive situation or something that's detrimental to health and other relationships, we have to learn how to healthily set boundaries. But as
okay.
far as our love quotient, we keep loving. We keep treating them with kindness. We do what's good
okay.
no matter what.
Okay.
I know. It's Christian.
Might,
good question.
You might not like them, but you got to love them.
Well, I mean, I've learned how to love people past what I dislike about them. But, I mean,
yeah.
you know, for me to continue to try to reach out and love you and you just stuck on stupid, to put it mildly, you know, I don't understand, you know, how I'm supposed to keep loving you, seeing that you're not going to react to me the same way I'm reacting to you.
But, you know,
but,
when you do that sometimes, pretty soon you'll find out, even if they don't change, you do.
Okay.
Hmm. Oh, now that was deep.
Yeah.
And this is a good segue because we're going into the last thing about an authentic Christian here, and it's all about the way of Jesus.
Right.
Didn't he come to people? I mean, we got our verse in John 1. He came into his own, and his own did not mm-hmm. receive him.
Right. Okay.
So he came loving on his own people, and they rejected him.
Right.
They didn't So this is the way of the master. Another.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to our new lesson. Key verse.
Okay.
Somebody read it.
May your kingdom come. May your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Matthew 6. Verse 10.
All right. And I sometimes give us verses out of a different translation because I want us to see, just because we're so familiar with verses and we have them memorized in certain ways. Sometimes we need to flip it up a little bit to look at it differently. But that's our key verse because this is what we know. This is part of what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the prayer
right.
Jesus taught us. May your kingdom, and let's just remind ourselves, what is the kingdom of God or heaven?
Say that again.
What is the kingdom of God?
It's God's reign and rule over the mm-hmm. earth as was planned when he created it.
How God intended things to be, and how God, when Jesus enters the scene, it does, and it's back. All right, let me talk about this word we're going to go into. Authentic Christians, this is the next one, participate with Jesus in tikkun olam. I've talked to you a little bit about this before, which is the repair
mm-hmm.
of the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I was thinking, sitting when I was writing this, think of one thing in your home that's in need of repair, like right now. Can you make the repair, or do you need an expert to help?
I need an expert.
Yep.
I know. I had a plumbing issue a couple weeks ago, and my regular expert was unavailable, and I had to call a different company, and I needed my regular expert because a different company was trying to charge me $5,000 to do what my other guy would do for $125. But anyway, but it was a repair that was beyond my ability, my scope. It was something I needed help with. Okay. In the Jewish world of Jesus, an important relationship was that between a rabbi and his Talmid or Talmidim, his disciple. A person would listen to a rabbi's teachings. Different rabbis would be around, there would be many, and decide whether or not they were worthy to be followed. In other words, how it would work is it's like preachers. You got a bunch of preachers, and you decide after you listen to a bunch of them which one you want to listen to regularly. Well, they would do that with a rabbi. But the difference was, unlike just being with that person once a week, they would be with that person every day. They would follow them, and they would choose to follow that rabbi. Spending time walking and learning from the rabbi would lead to them partnering with that rabbi in tikkun olam, the repairing of the world that was broken, of course, by the fall. Jewish people rarely talked about heaven, but they talked about bringing heaven to earth. They talked about the kingdom, in other words. Jesus came into a world, as Nicodemus declared, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." That's John 3:2. The words and actions of Jesus brought tikkun olam, healing, deliverance, life, God's presence. While most rabbis presented themselves to be followed, Rabbi Jesus went about it a different way. Let's look at how Rabbi Jesus went about it. Let's go to John chapter 15 and somebody read verse 16.
"You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father would give you whatever you ask for using my name." Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. So the tradition says that the disciple chooses the rabbi. How did Jesus do it?
Jesus chose his 12 that he wanted with him.
Yeah. Jesus chose, unlike the other rabbis, who waited to be chosen.
Okay.
All right. And what did he appoint them to do when he chose them?
To go into all the world and spread it out.
Produce fruit.
To do what?
Produce fruit.
Produce fruit.
To spread the gospel. Gosh.
We know it because we talk about it all the time. The fruit of the
what? What was your question? The fruit of the Spirit.
The Great Commission.
The fruit of the Spirit.
This fruit. Yeah.
That's look. Let's just look right here at the text at that verse we just read. I chose you and appointed you to go and do what?
Produce lasting fruit. So the Father would
produce
give
fruit.
You whatever you ask. Yeah.
Yeah. To produce fruit. So did Jesus tell them, "I chose you to go, told you to go out and I chose you to go and save souls"?
No.
He told them to do what? He chose them to do what?
Produce fruit.
To bear fruit. All right. Remember, this is in the parable of the vine, because we can go out and we can go fishing all day long, but if we're fishing in the wrong lake, it won't produce. All right, let me keep going so I don't confuse you all. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, and let's look and see who did Jesus choose. Matthew chapter 10, somebody read verses 1 through 4.
"Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Amen.
Amen.
All
right.
Mm-hmm.
So, who did Jesus choose?
The 12.
The 12 disciplines, as Medea would say. The 12 disciples. Now, we know that, did Jesus have more than 12 disciples?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He had a big following.
Yes. But the 12 are our pillar group. They're the foundational group. All right, so now we're going to take a closer look at some of the people, remember, that Jesus chose. They didn't choose him. He chose them. All right, so let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We're in, and we got verses 3 and 4, right?
Okay.
All right, somebody read Matthew 10, 3 and 4 real quick right here, and let's talk about these first cats we're going to talk about.
Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot.
All right. So, first of all, let's talk about the writer of this gospel, Matthew. What was Matthew's profession?
Tax collector.
Tax collector.
And it says in verse 3 that he identifies himself as a what?
Tax collector.
So what is he saying about himself?
He's not liked among the people, that's for sure. Because people in general, they don't like no debt collector.
And the tradition was, first of all, who did Matthew work for?
Work for the government.
The Roman government collecting their taxes.
Yeah. The oppressors, empire. He worked for the empire.
Oh, okay.
And so Rome would charge a 10% tax, but Matthew would charge 12%.
All right.
What do you think he did with the 2%?
He kept it.
Put it in his pocket.
Yeah.
When Jesus calls Matthew, after he calls Matthew, Matthew invites Jesus over to the house for dinner. And it's a party because Matthew's wealthy. Because Matthew's gotten wealthy off of who?
The people.
Yeah? Off his own people.
Right.
So here Jesus chooses somebody who his own people hate.
Mm-hmm.
He's a traitor. He works for Rome. He works for the empire. And then Matthew, what's Matthew's other name?
Oh, I didn't know.
Matthew's other name is Levi.
Oh, because he was supposed to be a priest.
He was supposed to be working for the temple. He's working
okay.
for the man. So Matthew's out of his own. He's from the tribe of Levi. So he's supposed to be working for the Lord. And
Lord.
He is working for Rome. So Matthew is a real character. And now
uh-huh.
we're going to talk about this next guy. Simon the Zealot. Now, what do you know about zealots?
They were a political party.
Yep. What else? What kind of political party were they?
The right wings. They took things upon themselves to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
The revival?
There.
They were the
ones
and
it is believed
to overthrow the government.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, I never knew that.
They were anti-empire. And it's believed that Simon might have been part of a sect called the Sicarii. Let me tell you about what the Sicarii would do.
Mm-hmm.
The Sicarii walked around with a knife that was in the shape of a hook. And they would literally walk up to people like Matthew because they saw them as traitors, and they would take the knife, stick it in their abdomen, and then hook it up so it would pierce their hearts.
Oh, wow.
That's brutal.
Matthew was Simon the Zealot was an assassin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so you can imagine when Jesus calls Matthew and Simon the Zealot to the same calling. I wonder
Simon
how many days
Matthew,
Jesus had to turn around and go, Simon, no. No.
I'm going to get you.
You talk about, yeah, as soon as Jesus turned his back. He chose two people who were diametrically opposed to one another. Who are complete opposites of each other. One is zealous for the things of God, and who is anti-establishment, especially anti-Rome, and somebody who works for Rome and is all about the Roman, you know, that capitalism. I'm getting paid. Don't matter. He chose them to be part of his foundational group. This other guy we know about, after Simon the Zealot, who do we have?
Judas Iscariot.
Judas Iscariot.
And what does the text tell us about him?
Betrayed Christ.
He betrayed Jesus.
He betrayed Jesus.
Right.
Do you think Jesus didn't know when he chose him?
Go ahead.
But he purposely chose him.
Right.
Anybody, let's see if you know. Why do you think he chose him?
Because he had to help follow through with what the word said, I guess, about he having to die.
Yeah, so that prophecy would be fulfilled.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody know the prophecy?
The Savior was going to have to die.
Right.
And he would be betrayed. Is it in Isaiah? Isaiah 53? That's it.
Death, burial, and resurrection.
It's all right. Y'all scholars, y'all going to keep looking for it. All right, but you're absolutely right to fulfill the scripture.
Okay.
That my own brother will betray me. That someone close to me who I eat with and sleep with will betray me. Who follows me. A lot of people ask questions about Judas. One of the things we can pretty much be assured of, Judas was, even though he was a follower, he wasn't a believer.
Okay.
Because he had different ideas. He was looking for something else. He was looking for the kingdom, like all of them were looking for it, the king, the one like David to come in and take out the Romans and restore Israel back to, because that's what they believed the Messiah was doing. But they wanted that physical right now victory. They weren't thinking about the Messiah was coming to bring the kingdom of God and back into to the earth. They thought that the kingdom was going to be like David's kingdom. They didn't realize that it was the eternal kingdom that the way God intended that was coming back into the earth. So Judas Iscariot, even though he didn't believe in Jesus the way, so he a non-believer who would betray him. All right. Let's talk about somebody else. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. And somebody read verses 1 to 11.
One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowd from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners to the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, O Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus.
All right. So now we know he calls this guy named Simon, which his Greek name is what?
Peter.
All right. Good class, good, you're getting it. All right, so here we ask Simon. How did Simon describe himself?
A sinful man.
A sinful man. Simon knows, this man that I'm dealing with, I am nothing like him. I'm pretty much not even religious. Fishing villages were notorious for gambling, prostitution, drunkenness, you know, So Peter was probably all that. We'll find out later on.
I have
a
question.
Get a chance to talk to him one day.
Mm-hmm. The dropping of the net, is that the same one when Jesus was on the side by that hill or whatever? He was cooking fish for them while they were out there fishing.
That was after he
that
rose
was the second time.
From the dead.
Okay.
From the dead.
Mm-hmm. Another situation. Okay, all right.
But when it happened the second time, how did Peter respond the second time? When they told him to drop the net the second time. Yep. He didn't hesitate to drop the net the second time. So.
That's the one when he had like a in the net.
Well, this. The first one, I think, was 150. Yeah, it was. I think it was. It doesn't. But
okay, all right. All right, we're gonna, I just wanted to make time together, tie that.
All right. But he described himself as a sinful man. In other words, he knew in the presence of Jesus that he did not measure up.
Okay.
But yet, who did Jesus choose?
He chose the 12 that was with him.
He chose
Simon Peter.
Yep, he chose him. All right, let's go quickly to Luke.
Eight.
We're still in Luke chapter 8, and somebody read verses 1 through 3, and let's look at who else Jesus chose.
Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons, Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Amen.
All right. So first, he chose some women. You know how unheard of this was? First of all, remember, unheard of. Remember the prayer that the Pharisees would pray? I know I've told you this before. Thank God I'm not a Gentile or a
woman.
A woman.
Or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because in their belief, women were less than men. And it was heavily influenced by the Greeks and Gnosticism, where they actually believed that women were malformed men.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, that's not what God intended in the beginning. Anyway, we know God took purposely to form women, because Adam was like, oh, whoa, man. Anyway, let us look, though, at these women. Some of these women, what did it say about some women?
They had been healed of evil spirits.
They were of evil spirits,
sick.
And
evil spirits and diseases. So some of these women that Jesus chose as part of his disciples, his followers, had diseases, which we know in their culture, no, you're not, you know, and then evil spirits. I'm wondering, we'll find out, because the Bible doesn't tell us, if the woman with the issue of blood ended up being a follower of Jesus.
I was just thinking about
one of his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So we got them. But then we have a woman who history has not done a good job by, Mary called Magdalene. What was her issue?
She had seven demons.
Yep. So she was completely possessed.
Yeah.
She was way out.
She had a gang of demons.
Mm. She was not sleeping well at all. But yet, who chose her?
Jesus.
I mean, are we picking up a theme here about the people that Jesus chose?
Yes.
Yes.
He went down a business.
The outcast, almost.
They did not have good reputations among the community.
Not at all. Not many of virtue, and not high esteem or of a high class. Look at Joanna, the wife of Chuza.
Mm-hmm.
Who was she?
The manager of Herod's household.
That was her husband. Was managed Herod's household, kind of like what Joseph did for Potiphar. In other words, he ran Herod's palaces and businesses. He's high up in Herod's government. Now, who is Herod?
The king.
Yeah.
King. He's king of He's king of the appointed king of Jerusalem by the Roman government. All right. And he's considered king of the Jews. But Jesus chose someone whose husband works in Herod's house, which means her money came from who?
Herod. The government.
And it says about these women that they use their money to do what?
To support Jesus' ministry.
So Jesus chose somebody in Herod's household, and Herod's money was used to finance the ministry that was going to destroy Herod's kingdom ultimately.
Wow, that's different.
This is the same Herod that sent the order to kill babies.
This would be a son. This would be a descendant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he died not too long after he did that foolishness. Eric the Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was vile. He killed his own kids too. So, but this
oh,
was
wow.
the
wow.
other Herods. Mm-hmm.
So was the folks over here.
Yeah. Kill their own kids. He don't care.
Right.
All right. So we got this person. All right. I wanted to get to this last one real quick so I could stop at a good place. But we only got 5 minutes. We can do this. Chapter 9, somebody read verses 51 through 56. Let's talk about these two guys real quick.
Okay. 51 through 56. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village.
All right.
My man
want
to burn them up.
James and John. Yep. What is the name Jesus gave to James and John?
The Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
Yeah. I see why not.
This is why. This means James and John, they were fishermen too, remember?
Okay.
So they like to fight. Bottom line. But in Eastern, Middle Eastern culture, hospitality is everything. Somebody comes to your house and they're traveling, you give them shelter. Somebody needs food, you help them out. They wash their feet. They do things and it's cultural amongst all of them. But the Samaritans refused hospitality to Jesus. And because of that, James and John were so offended, they asked the Lord, because they got a little taste of power. Remember, they cast out demons, and the spirits were subject to them, and they had some healing power. And they got a taste of what the Holy Spirit could do. And they go to Jesus and say, "Should we call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Because they would not give us a place to stay." A little extreme, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a bit.
But to call down some fire.
let's murder the whole town because they wouldn't give us wash our feet or give us some bread.
Didn't accept us, right? Okay.
Yeah. Because they didn't give us they didn't give us shelter. This is
right.
That's a bit extreme, you know. That's, okay, that's
head.
Way extreme. Yep. But remember, these are people who Jesus chose. He chose James and John, knowing that they were hotheads. He chose Peter, knowing that he was sinful. And Mary of Magdala, knowing she had seven spirits. And Matthew, knowing that he was a betrayer of his own people. And Simon the Zealot, knowing that he was modern-day jihad. You know, he was an assassin. He was a terrorist. Knowing this, Judas. So what can we say all of these people have in common? They're what?
They needed help. All of them.
Regular humans.
They were
sinful.
Beings.
Right. Depraved.
Yeah, they were
not special people. They were just selected because of their problems, I guess.
Hmm.
You know,
they were here, that's for sure.
Compared to us.
I just thought about the heresy. That person that you just can't get yourself enough. You know, okay, come on with me before it's all said and done.
He's breaking up on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, We'll hold that thought for next week because it is 10 o'clock and we got to stop because y'all having too much fun. So let me pray. Father, we thank you because when we look at this list, we can all say one of us on this list. We thank you because you chose us just like you chose them. And you chose them to repair the world and you chose us.
Amen.
To help you in repairing the world. We thank you for what you have going forward for us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Good lesson. Thank you. Thank you again, Sister Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, for all your faithfulness and commitment to study and teach God's word. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. We thank you.
All righty.
Okay. All right now. Get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, crumpets, and after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
You were not. It's Christmas time. It is Christmas time, and Jesus is the reason for the season. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital. And the word of God tells us so. And all thy words acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us to with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own sister deaconess, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. While we are here, proclamation, we proclaim that Jesus, the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. And our text comes from Luke chapter number 1, verses 1 through 12. That's Luke chapter 1. Verses 1 through 12, and it's titled The Birth of Jesus. And it goes like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Amen. So let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preach word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you replace every kind of poverty with your overflowing abundance. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Clyburn. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca and Pastor Janice Tate for that awesome class. Amen. I want to say that the scripture was chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I made a mistake when I sent it out to Deaconess Clyburn and when she gave it to everybody else. So everybody who does scripture reading, remember that's chapter 2. Pastor O made a mistake. See, I kept telling you I wasn't perfect, didn't I? See, now you know. Now you feel all funny, but I'm going to make you feel better. Amen. Anyway, it's been a long year, right? Lots of hills, lots of valleys, halfway up the hill, spent time down in the valley too long. Amen. But through all of that, look where we are now. We have all experienced the goodness of God. Don't you love it that God gives us breath, that we can sing about the goodness of God? No, we don't like all of the stuff that happens to us and all of the stuff that we go through, sick and all that kind of stuff, broke. I got bills, got peanut butter, no jelly. Amen, ham, no eggs. Amen, we get tired of life being like that. But then as we look back over our life and see how God, in spite of all that, brought us to where we are now, well, we have to join Cece and sing about the goodness of God and remember that all our life we've been through it. Did you hear what I just said? Through it. That's the part you want to pay attention to. No matter what it was, we had stuff made us want to leave this life. But are we still here? You know what that means? You got the victory over that. And the Lord says, if you don't worry about nothing, if you tell him about everything, pray about everything, amen, and remember what he's done already all my life, he has been good, then that gives you a lot of confidence going forward. You know what? At this time of year, all year long, but at this time of year, I love to think about how good Jesus has been to me all year long. And, you know, for me, you know my testimony. I wanted to find out who God was, so I sat behind the school that I now live down the street from. I was like 14, 15 years old, and I wanted to know God. He didn't show up till I was 20. So I had 5 years of being a crazy atheist. So anyway, I now live down the street from that school, and I have never wanted anything from the Lord but to know him. My mother knew him. My father would get to praying to him and wouldn't stop. Dinner would be cold. It's another week gone by. We still at the same table. That's how much I would see him on the side of the bed talking to him, praying to him, hands folded on his knees, head bowed, mother too. But I didn't know him. But I know him now. My mother, that mother and father, they led me to Jesus. Amen. And I know him now. I'm not trying to preach. I'm just telling you just to know him.
Hallelujah.
Just to know him.
to know it.
That's all I ever wanted. All of the rest of the stuff just kept popping up, and I didn't know what was going on in my life. I'm like, Jesus, this is stuff I always wanted, and it's popping up, and I ain't even asking you for it. He said, well, you're seeking my kingdom. You're seeking my righteousness and the desires of your heart. It's my good pleasure to give them to you. I know what you want. I know what you've always wanted, and this is how you get it. Amen. You know, that's why I love the Lord so much. That's why I may get sometimes tired of what I do, amen, but I never get tired of doing it. I might get tired from it, but I never get tired of it. I love it. I love to wake up every single day and be that much closer to the Lord, telling myself no to this, no to that, a little bit more than I did yesterday. That's success for me. That's success for you. That's success for us. That's as good as it gets, and that's the way it's going to be until we leave here. Jesus is working on us. Well, I keep hearing people say, I'm just trying to get better for the Lord. And I say, Jesus. He'd be like, what? I'd be like, Philippians 1:6, explain that to me, because they say they trying to get better. You say you working on them, and you going to carry it out to completion. What they doing? Nothing. They can't do nothing. Except you abide in me. How much can you do? Nothing. They ain't doing nothing. But I love them. I'm working on them. They're mine. And when I get through with them, I'm going to present them to my Father, and they're going to be without spot or without wrinkle, a church that is blameless. Oh, I can't wait. That's Jesus talking, not me. He going to do that. That's his joy. Jesus' greatest joy is to present you before his Father. Now, how valuable are you? Where's your self-esteem? How valuable are you? Jesus is waiting to present you to his Father without spot or wrinkle. Perfect. Yeah. And then all of us going to be under God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know what that make me want to do? And y'all going to help me out with this, unless you want me to sing. You want me? Okay, y'all going to help me out with this then, right? Y'all going to sing? We're about to sing a love song to the Lamb.
Can I get somebody to help me sing this song to the one we love the most? It's real simple, and it goes like this. I love
your name.
And I love
you. And I love your touch.
I love your voice.
I love your voice.
How it heals my heart.
How it heals my heart.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord, oh Lord.
Somebody say it.
I'm so in love with you.
That's what I'm talking about. Can I say I love your thoughts?
I love your thoughts.
Jesus, I love your ways.
Your ways.
I love your word.
I love your word.
I love to give you praise.
Love to give you praise.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord,
oh Lord.
I'm so
in love. Now if you don't mind, I'd like to cry out to him. Oh Lamb, oh Lamb.
Oh Lamb,
oh Lamb. My sins held you to that cross. Yes, they did.
To the cross.
Oh, Lamb.
Oh, Lamb.
Say it again. Oh, Lamb.
Oh, Lamb.
Oh, Lamb. Oh, Lamb of God.
Your love paid the price.
Your love paid the price for us all. Now, if I got two or three believers out there that don't mind singing this with me, lift your voice and say it. I love your name.
I love your name.
I love your touch.
Love your voice.
How it heals my heart.
How it heals my
oh
heart.
Lord,
I'm so in love
with you. Can somebody help me say? And I love your ways, I do.
To give you
love
praise.
Oh, oh Lord,
I'm so in love with you.
Once again, everybody, let's call on the Lamb, lift him up, say it.
Oh,
he is. And now we sing the ultimate love song to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Bring it. Come on. Come on. Say it. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I want you to get your voice ready and lift it up as high as you can. Oh, Lamb, say it. About him and all he's done for you. I know what he's done for me. Come on, somebody. If you don't mind looking back from where he's brought you from, just give him a good I love you, Lord, in your heart right now. And if you're in a place where you could just lift your voice a little bit, just tell him, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. And if you're in a place where you can actually lift your hands and give him glory, just think about how good he is to you and tell him, I love you. I love you. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. Oh, somebody said, because we love the Lamb. And this is our love song to the Lamb.
Amen. Let's go in and have prayer. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to see you, hear you, and feel you through your word, Lord. And we thank you for the ability to be able to just move, live, and have our being, Lord. We thank you again for giving us another day to be able to do your will, Lord. And we ask that you align our ways to yours, Lord, as we continue to walk this walk with you. Lord, we thank you again for all the things that you bless us with on a daily basis, Lord. And we just ask that you continue to just move in our lives so that as we align to your will, Lord, that we are not discouraged, Lord, and not, we don't feel as unashamed, Lord. We are just very bold for you, Lord. Thank you again for just providing your ways, Lord, in a book. So beautiful to our souls, Lord, and we just continue to thank you for providing a sacrifice and a means of atonement, Lord, and we just thank you for your son, Lord, and his sacrifice and his ability to come down and reject his deity, Lord, and we just bless you, Lord, so that in understanding of the awe of the sacrifice, Lord, thank you for sending your one and only son as a token of sacrifice, Lord. Thank you for providing a way so that we can be with you yet again like we were in the garden, Lord. We thank you for providing sovereignty, Lord, and providing healing and deliverance and all those things, Lord, and heal every broken heart, Lord. Cast all anxieties and thoughts of fear, Lord, and anxious acts, Lord, and everything that does not align with you, Lord, everything that aligns with Satan's will, Lord, cast it into a sea, Lord. Allow us to unburden ourselves with that yoke, Lord, and to put on your yoke, Lord, a yoke that's light, Lord, and a yoke that's meaningful, Lord, and a yoke of purpose, Lord, and we just ask that you bless us in a way that just brings us to remembrance of all the things that you do on a daily basis. Bless the preacher with a word, Lord, that comes directly from you, Lord, and just move, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit move in a way that is just phenomenal in his life, Lord. Allow him to just feel your presence as he brings all of the things that he has studied, Lord, and all the things that he has contemplated with you, Lord, and just have move, live, and have your being in his life, Lord. Bless his body, Lord, with minimum, Lord. allow him to be able to just relax when he wants to, Lord. Allow his body to move in a way that shows that you're being illuminated in his life, Lord. Thank you again for his mind, Lord, and his sacrifice, Lord, and all the things that he puts aside, Lord, as he continues to thrive and move for you, Lord. Thank you for the people that have contributed to this service, Lord, and bless them and grant favor on their lives, Lord. Even the people in the back that's doing the switchboard, thank you again for their sacrifice and for their commitment, Lord. Bless our leaders of our nation, Lord, and our small governments, Lord, and bless our schools and our educational institutes, Lord. Bless all of the places where you want to be, Lord, that people say get out. Lord, allow your light to shine so bright on our world, Lord, that no one, everyone knows what's going on, Lord. Allow it to just only be your supernatural favor, Lord. Thank you again for all the listeners on Blog Talk, Lord, and bless them with something special, Jesus, to know that only you can give them what they need. Align everyone's will to yours, Lord, and we ask that you continue to bless us all with all the things that we continue to need on a daily basis, seen and unseen. Forgive our sins, Lord. Anything that we've done that we haven't spoken to you, Lord, gird it up in us, Lord. Stir it up, Lord, so that it comes out, Lord, so that we take off that yoke and put on yours, Lord. Allow us to continue to deny ourselves on a daily basis, Lord, and just continue to just give us all the things that we need through the Holy Spirit. Allow us to listen to the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to learn from the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to just take heed of what he is saying. Bless all the people that are sick and shut in, Jesus, and we ask that you continue to encourage them to just do their best at whatever it is that they can do, Lord. And the things that they say are limited, Lord, shine your light on those things, Lord, so that they become unlimited, Lord. Thank you again for deliverance and healing and those things that you provide for our mind and your word, Lord, and encourage us to continue to read our word so that we continue to walk in your way. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen, amen. Power and prayer, power and prayer. We just thank you, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Okay. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning. I am truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. So with more to come, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this next song selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. So prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Let's receive him with an open and warm heart. Amen.
Just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh,
never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists to
they look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright, we gon' be alright.
Tell us,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
You say
we gon'
old times will come and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day,
human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble the same.
Shady appearance of evil, I pray.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn through the dark.
Hey, even through the storm and the rain,
we will shout, cause we know after the night,
say it,
we gon' be alright.
Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we just thank you for sending your son Jesus to come down and die for a sinful world. Father, your son Jesus is the reason for the season. Father, let your name and your presence be glorified in the word that you have given me to preach to your people. Not only is it a word that you've given me, but it's a challenge for the church. So, Father, I just ask that you move me completely out of the way. Let no distractions come in, and let me say what you have me to say. It is in your precious and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. First of all, I want to say Merry Christmas to all my Running for Christ brothers and sisters and to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners. The message that the Lord gave me to preach to you today is a challenge for the church. And the title of the message is, Don't be afraid to share the gift of Jesus with somebody. Don't be afraid to share the gift of Jesus with a non-believer today. And the word and the scriptures that the message is based on is The first one is Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and it goes like this. Out of the New Living Translation, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." Church, over 2,023 years ago, we were given a gift that will never die. We were given a gift that was the Son of Mary. We were given a gift who was willing to take away the sins of the world according to John chapter 1 verse 29 goes like this: "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." I don't know why we are so afraid to give the gift of Jesus to somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. Jesus offered his life for us, so we should not be scared to share the gift that was given to us over 2,023 years ago. It's good to receive presents. It's good to receive materialistic presents for Christmas. But the best gift that you can give somebody who does not believe in Jesus is the gift of Jesus Christ. Because this gift that we were given washed our sins away in his own blood, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. This gift that we were given over 2,000 years ago is living inside of us today. So we cannot continue to be afraid to share the gift that was given to us by our Father God over 2,000 years ago. Because, believe it or not, God didn't have to sent his own son to die for our sins. But he did it because he wanted us to have to experience the eternal life of that gift. And that gift is Jesus. Jesus is the reason why we are living under grace today. Jesus is the reason why we are no longer living under the law. Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life so that we could accept him as our Lord and Savior, so that we could share the gift of Jesus Christ with somebody else for Christmas. You know, Christmas means so much more to me than receiving materialistic presents. Because if I didn't have the gift of Jesus in my life today, I wouldn't be as nice as I am now, as nice as I am today. If I didn't get the opportunity to experience the eternal life of the gift of Jesus, I would still be mad as ever. But because I have the gift of Jesus inside of me, I'm a new creature. Because Jesus was willing to take my sins and put it on his shoulders. And not only was he willing to take my sins and put them on his shoulders, he was willing to take away the sins of the whole world. John 3:16 says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Verse 18 says, the second part of verse 18 says, But those who haven't believed in Jesus have been condemned already. Church, don't be afraid to share the gift of Jesus with somebody for Christmas. Ask them. If you have to, sit them down and ask them, "Do you want Jesus? Do you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? Or do you want to continue to be in bondage?" See, we are the church, y'all. We have been commanded to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Don't be afraid to be the salt of the earth in your community where you live, as far as sharing the gift of Jesus is concerned, because there are 2.7 billion people on this earth, and only 30% are believers. Saints, we have a job to do. We have been commanded. Not only have we been commanded, but we've been chosen to carry out the work that God. Not only have we been commanded, but we have been chosen to share the gift of Jesus with somebody else who doesn't believe in Jesus. If you are on a job where you are physically unable to share the gift of Jesus with somebody today because of your job rules, if you get a moment, go home from work and sit down and write that unsaved person a letter telling them your testimony of where the Lord has brought you from. And God gave us a main assignment, and that's to bring people to Jesus. And the way we bring people to Jesus is not with our bad attitudes, but with an attitude of love. If you're on a job where you cannot physically talk to an unsaved person about Jesus, when you get home, if you have their number, I want you to sit down and call them on the phone when you have time. Because, church, we have a job to do. And Jesus is waiting for the church to wake up. And you know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. This past week, I was practicing at my day program. I was on the stage getting ready for a Christmas concert that I have coming, that I have to go to on the 19th of December. And one of the songs that we were going to sing was Mary, Did You Know? So the whole choir was singing the song during practice. And I'm not going to mention names, but one of the staff looked at the whole choir and said that Mary, Did You Know was depressing. And while she was saying that, while this person was saying it, I'm thinking, this song has a lot of meaning to it, because it's talking about, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Then it talked about, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? See, saints, we have been challenged by God as a church, not only as a church, but as the body of Christ, to tell somebody the real meaning of Christmas. And like I said earlier, Jesus is the whole reason why we have Christmas. Because if we didn't have Jesus to share with anybody, we wouldn't have Christmas today. So, and John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're on your job and you are around an unsaved person, tell them your testimony. But if you can't tell them face to face, I want you to go home and write your testimony down on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope. And when you go back to work, I want you to pull them aside and I want you to give them the envelope. Because, say, church, our world needs Jesus. And this gift is too precious not to be shared with the world. This gift is too valuable not to be shared with the world. This gift was the ultimate sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. So why not tell a dying world about the gift a Christmas gift that continues to live inside of us today? And if there are any unbelievers, if there are any if there is anybody that's listening that is on the fence about making Jesus your Lord and Savior, don't go another day without making Jesus your Lord and Savior. Because this gift that is still alive in this gift that was willing to die for you will never die at all. If you are, if you're listening and you're on the fence about making Jesus your Savior, please do that. Because in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But the free gift of God is eternal life to the people that are on the fence about making Jesus your Lord and Savior. Please do it, because if you don't make Jesus your Lord and Savior today, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. And you will not be able to say that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. And when you get to heaven, when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, you will not be able to hear the Lord say, when you get to heaven, you will hear the Lord say, what are you doing? What are you doing here? I never knew you because you rejected me. Don't reject Jesus and that message is for anyone that is on the fence about making Jesus the Lord of your life. And to the church and to the body of Christ, we have to be willing to be ready to share the gift of Jesus at odd times. Jesus didn't call us to be comfortable when we share the gift of Jesus with a non-believer. Jesus specifically said that it was going to be uncomfortable. We have to be willing to put ourselves to the side when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus with somebody today. And if we're not willing to put ourselves to the side when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus with somebody today, that I don't know when you are going to be willing. But not only do you have to be willing to put yourself to the side when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus with somebody, you have to be devoted. You have to devote yourself to sharing the gift of Jesus with someone today, because before you came to Christ, before you got to know who Jesus was for yourself, somebody was willing and devoted enough to put themselves to the side and share the gift of Jesus Christ with you. Let me ask you a question. Who is ready and willing to put themselves to the side when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus with somebody else today? You don't have to answer that. Think about it. Are you ready to be devoted to giving somebody else the gift that was given to you over 2,000 years ago? Are you willing and ready to be uncomfortable when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus with a non-believer? You don't have to answer that. Think about it. You don't have to let me know about it. Let the Lord know when you are ready and when you are devoted to putting yourself to the side when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus with a non-believer today. Because we are supposed to let our lights, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says this: let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good deed, and so that your Father in heaven will be glorified. It will not glorify God if you refuse to be willing to put yourself to the side when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus Christ with somebody else today. It will not glorify him at all. Matter of fact, it will grieve him. Saints, don't grieve God. Don't make God grieve over the fact that you are not willing and ready to be uncomfortable when it comes to sharing the gift of Jesus Christ with a non-believer today. Because Pastor Jonathan Tate says it all the time, time isn't long. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And when we get to heaven, God is going to ask us how many people we led. God is going to ask us this question. And the question is, how many people did you lead to Jesus today? How many people did you tell about me today? Saints, be ready and willing to share the gift of Jesus Christ with a non-believer, whether you want to or not. Because we have been commanded. And not only have we been commanded, but we have been chosen as the church of today to reach the people of today with the good news of Jesus Christ. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it was to preach your word the way you wanted your word preached. Father, I did not preach your word the way that you wanted your word preached so that I could get the accolade. I preached the word that you have given me to preach so that you will be glorified and so that you will be exalted. Father, let this word that you have given to me to preach to your people, let it be a reminder that we have to start being willing and ready to share Jesus with a non-believer, whether we like it or not. Yes, Father, let your word marinate in our hearts so that the next time we see an unbeliever, let us be willing and ready to share Jesus with that unbeliever. Father, it is in your precious and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Terrence, that message essentially speaks for itself. I don't really know what else I can say to that. You know, the word tells us that we have to be witnesses. And we don't just witness with our words, but we have a responsibility to witness with our lives. Pastor Jonathan reminded us last week that people are always watching, and you never know who's watching. Excuse me, and it doesn't matter who's watching. What matters is that you are reflecting Christ into the world. And so we have an obligation and we have a responsibility, like you said, no matter how uncomfortable it may be for us to talk to unsaved people. It's not our responsibility to convince of God and of Christ, but we have a responsibility to plant a seed if that's what we need to do, and we have a responsibility to come through and water it if that's what we're asked to do. So we do thank you for the word that you brought to us today, reminding us that the church, as the body of Christ, has a responsibility to get people to know Christ, to get people to understand Jesus.
you will never understand the love of God and the love of Christ if we as the body of Christ don't share that. Like, we can't just be Christians and then just do like what Christians do within like our Christian selves and our Christian people, and then we leave everybody else out. God didn't do that to us. When he sent Jesus for all of us, not just some of us. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Terrence, for the word that you brought to us today. It is a reminder that we are here and we have an obligation and have a job to do, and we need to remember exactly what it is that we're here for, because we all have a purpose and everyone has a place in the body of Christ. Amen. So again, thank you for the word that you brought to us today. Happy Saturday, everyone. It is the second Saturday in the month of December. Time is moving on. Yes, we say it all the time this year, Jesus is the reason for the season, but it's not a cliche. He is so the reason for the season. This season, next season, and the season after that, Jesus will always be the reason. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, tomorrow, Sunday, what's tomorrow? I think December 10th or something like that. Y'all know it's Sunday, tomorrow. Whatever day tomorrow is, it's tomorrow, Sunday. We will have our in-person worship service. Amen. Excuse me. We are, of course, in our church home, 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. with Pastor Janice Tate, teaching Sunday school to us, and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. Minister Lachelle Anderson, amen, Minister Lachelle, Minister Shelley, she is going to be bringing the word to us tomorrow, so please, please, please come on out. She is amazing, if you don't already know, so you definitely don't want to miss out on her. Please come out and worship with us tomorrow, amen. Monday, December 10th, okay, so tomorrow is September 9th, because Monday is December 10th, amen, so Monday, December 10th, at 6 p.m., y'all know we have our new Bible class entitled Biblical Giving, taught by Pastor O on Blog Talk Radio, again on Monday at 6 p.m. If you need a book because you don't have one yet, or you're kind of just getting in, it's never too late. Even if you get in on the last sentence in the last chapter of the book, it's okay. You got in. Amen. But you do need a book. So if you haven't gotten one yet and you want to read the book or participate in the class, go to our church website, rfcm.org, or go to Pastor's website, pastorgmo.com, to make your purchase. Pastor has sent out the questions a couple weeks before class started, and those were the discussion questions for all of the chapters in the book. I don't think I saw questions for chapter 3 yet. I might be tripping. But nevertheless, they are on our church website, rfcm.org. And if you're in person on Sunday, they will be on the back table. So this week, we're going into chapter 3. Amen? Don't forget, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible class. I think this coming up Wednesday might be the last one. Don't quote me. Pastor will clear that up for y'all. But again, you always need a book for our Wednesday night Bible class. It starts at 6 p.m. again on Blog Talk Radio. The questions are always at the end of each chapter for discussion. And this week, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is teaching the class. Amen. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. So make sure to join in on the discussion about our children. Also, as a reminder, a Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. Amen. This is Minister Lachelle Anderson's Blog Talk Radio show, again, entitled Street Love, which is the name of her her mission, Street Love. If you go and do the Wednesdays that they're out in front of the church building, she's got the word Street Love, amen, and with the little letters and the sticks in the grass, Street Love. That is her ministry, amen. So it happens on Mondays at 6:30 p.m., again, on Blog Talk Radio. It's Minister Shelley. So for more information, there's a phone number, but for more information, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click under Christian Resources, and you'll have the information there to be able to tune in to Street Love, amen, on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Another reminder, Thursday, December 21st at 12 noon, Thursday, December 21st at 12 noon, Pastor O will be presenting the annual storytelling of Christmas Amen, on Blog Talk Radio, The History of Christmas. We have some good old Christmas music, a good old time. I like how Pastor, he tells a portion of the story, then he throws in some Christmas music so he can get a break, and then he comes back and picks up the story and then throws in some more little Christmas music in there. So it's really, really good. It's awesome to know why Christians celebrate Christmas and why it's okay. And why nobody should make you feel bad. I mean, you should feel bad anyway if somebody got something to say about you buying a tree or ornaments or whatever, because people always mind somebody else's business. But it's okay to buy a tree. It's okay to put lights. It's okay to decorate. It's okay to give gifts. It's okay to light it up and sit there and just look at the tree because it's beautiful. It's okay for all of that, okay? And if you don't know why it's okay, you need to be tuning in on Thursday, December 21st at 12 p.m., because Pastor is going to tell you exactly why all of that is okay. Amen. So Christmas is my favorite time of year. I look forward to hearing your story every year. So if you have not ever listened to it, listen to it. Tune in this year. Make sure to share it with others, because some people may not know why it's okay to celebrate Christmas the way that we do. Not with the commercialism and all the buying and the shopping and all of that, but it is okay to give gifts as well. Amen. So Pastor was going to tell you all about that. So make sure you tune in on Thursday, December 21st at 12 p.m. for the History of Christmas. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Get your whole Christian life together. Going all the way back to 2009. Just from listening to Blog Talk Radio, Run for Christ Ministries, Blog Talk Radio. Amen. So go to our church website, rfcm.org, share it. Download it first, then share it. Or I guess you can share without downloading. But either way, download it, share it. We got classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more all available to you for free. You ain't going to need to put in the last four digits of your social security number. You're not going to have to put in your credit card, and we're not going to bill you 30 days later. It's not a free trial. It's just straight up free. Amen. So go to the church website, rfcm.org. Get the information you need off of it. Pastor O's over 1,800 classes and stuff on there. Classes, services, show, all types of stuff. Everything is on there, and it's all, again, for free. Amen? So like Pastor O used to always say, it's only fair to share. Amen? If you like to pay your offerings, pay your tithes and give me the offerings, again, church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Terrence Tate, who brought that word to us, reminding us, okay, just because you saved, your job is not over. It's honestly just beginning, because now we have the responsibility of getting unsaved people in the body of Christ. Amen. So if you want to give a love offering for Pastor Terrence Tate, you're more than welcome to do so on our church website, rfcm.org. Just remember to specify this love offering is for Pastor Terrence Tate, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him on today. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And so we know that eternal life in heaven, make a distinction here, because there's eternal life in hell too. Okay. But eternal life in heaven hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Pastor Jonathan, when he preached last week, and he talked about how there's 8 billion people on the planet, but I think only like 31.6 or something percent of the 8 billion people are believers in Jesus Christ. I'm not good at numbers. I really don't do math without a calculator. I don't do mental math at all. But I will tell you that only 31 or so percent of 8 billion people, that tells me that it's a whole lot of people standing in line trying to get their spot in hell. Okay, and what that also says is that the church, the body of Christ, we need to be doing more. Okay, it's not our job to force people into Christ. You have a choice that you make. But again, we're responsible for planting the seed and watering it if that's what we need to do. Pastor Johnson told us last week the hard work has already been done. The soil has already been plowed and tilled and turned over. Thing to do is to come drop a seed. Amen. And if you set your sprinkler on autopilot, you can come through and sprinkle something and water it and keep it moving. Amen. So we know that there's no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit, okay, without accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which we know in today's day and time is your immediate household, people who live under your roof, Judea, your community, the places where you frequent, grocery store, gas station, daycare center, work, whatever. Samaria, which is outside of your comfort zone, you know, to people in places that you might not associate with or normally go to, so places you might have to jump on the freeway to get to, amen, and to the ends of the earth. And these are people in places that you would never be around or go to. You like, nope, they too far, and I don't fool with them anyway. I'm not doing it. Well, you know what? They need the word of God as well, and that's why Blog Talk Radio is so awesome, because we can't physically get on a plane necessarily and get to all the nooks and crannies of this earth, but this internet and this Blog Talk Radio is getting everywhere, is getting in the nooks and crannies in the very corners of places where we physically may not be able to go, okay? It didn't say that you have to physically go. It just said that his word, as us as witnesses, are going to go to the ends of the earth. Amen. And so everybody needs the word of God. And it's our job, as I've said a million times today, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. So for all of these people that's standing in line, that's not in that 31 point whatever percent of the 8 billion people on the planet, y'all in the wrong line. Okay? Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we do know that, unfortunately, some people will end up there in eternal torment. And eternal, that's like never ending, okay? This life on this planet is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. And Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, okay? John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. So if you in that hell line, you in the wrong line. It wasn't set up for you. Please get out of that line. But again, body of Christ, churchgoers, believers, we have to get people out of the line. Amen. So we just want to ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Pray for Doris and Nakia Gaither, all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrook and Nico Gaston, Melanie and her father, Jedediah, Micah, his dad Anthony, Various and Keela, Ed and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all of those who are caregivers, nurses, and doctors in the medical field providing care to others in nursing homes, long-term care facilities, hospice care, teachers, staff, and students, administrators from elementary all the way up to college, you know, bus drivers, security crossing guards, whatever you do to keep kids and students safe. Continue to pray for all of our leaders from our local communities all the way up to Washington, our president, our vice president. Pray for your pastor who shepherds over you, that they follow Christ as you follow them. Amen. Pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. No time is a good time to lose a loved one, but it gets really, really tough around these times. The biggest prayers that we really, really need to be lifting up are prayers for those who are unsaved. Look, it's a whole lot of things to pray for. And yes, we can bring everything to God. He wants everything from us. He wants our honesty. He wants us to tell him everything. But the biggest thing we really need to focus on are for people who are not saved. Okay, when all of this is done, when this world is over and it's dying, okay, we tearing it up, it's fallen, it's broken apart. It only exists because God is still holding it up. But this is going to be a wrap, and it is going to be a wrap soon, okay? But there's no do-overs. When it's over, okay? And so I just wanted to say, you know, I saw some very, very horrible comments on social media yesterday regarding a young man who was sentenced to life in prison for the school shooting that happened in Oxford a couple years ago. The young man, he's 17 years old now. He was 15 when the shooting happened. And I saw a comment that really just broke my heart, and it really just kind of gave me pause. It just really hurt me. And so someone had mentioned that God loves everyone, and, you know, if this young man repents and confesses Christ, that he will be saved, okay? Someone commented on that and said that God didn't love the devil, and that's why he sent him away, which, okay, we know that that's not the story. But the part I think that hurts the most, or that hurt me the most, was that when the same person said that God doesn't love disabled people. And I don't know if he was implying that this young man was disabled or if he was implying that he was mentally ill because of what he did. But to say that God doesn't love disabled people, that has to be one of the most ignorant and hurtful things that I have ever read. And I have read a lot of mean, horrible comments on social media. Social media is the most judgmental place on this planet. Okay, it's nothing but a bunch of keyboard warriors who set out, you know, to just say mean things and to be hurtful on purpose, you know, stirring the pot so that they can feel important because they get responses or likes, even though they are spreading hate and evil. It's just insane to me. But I had to pray for this person who said that, because there's no way that this person can know Jesus. And this person has no clue of the love of God, even in their own life. And so, again, Pastor Terrence today talked about God's love. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world, okay, not just the good people, the beautiful people, the happy people. He loved the world, okay? And as a world, we are all ugly, unhappy, not nice, evil people, because we are all capable of doing the same thing, okay? But God, okay? So, again, while this young man, you know, did a very horrible thing, it was ugly, lives and communities are changed forever because of his actions, God still loves him. And we need to pray that he learns this, and that his family learns this, and that he understands this, and he accepts this before it's too late. He's not a 40-year-old man. He was a 15-year-old, he's 17 now. But his parents, his family, the people who should have been pouring into him, they failed him. And to see him so horribly attacked, and the comments that people put as if they XYZ don't stink is crazy to me, okay? And I'm using him as an example because this just happened yesterday where he was sentenced. But this goes for everybody. People need to be saved, and they need to know the love of Jesus Christ, okay? And while it's unfortunate that many have had to learn this lesson while being incarcerated, even if they're incarcerated for life, because this young man, if he lives to be 80, 85 years old, for his entire life, he has been behind bars, you know? So even if they had to learn this lesson, you know, while incarcerated, where they, you know, won't have a chance to be free from those walls and being free from being told what to do and how to move, God so loved the world. Amen. And those whom Jesus sets free are free indeed. Okay, so he may never be free from the walls of prison, but spiritually he will be free. And if he accepts the love of Jesus Christ, he will spiritually be free, and he will have the ability to live forever. Okay, so John 8:36 tells us that those whom Jesus sets free are free indeed. So if you free because you're in the body of Christ, and God, Jesus died on the cross for you, he died on the cross for him too. Amen. So, again, as the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to make sure people know Jesus. It's their choice whether or not they want to accept him, but we have to plant the seed. Amen. That was just my little sermon. Anyway, okay, The holidays are upon us. Y'all know that. We're going to be celebrating Christmas in a couple weeks. We all need to take the time out to stop and think about others and what they may be going through during this time. Some are missing friends and loved ones. Some are lonely and alone. Some have no hope and are suffering from depression. We need to be kind. We need to be caring and courteous to everyone. But most of all, we need to treat everyone with grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, which is the same way our Lord Jesus Christ deals with us. John chapter 15, verse 12 says to love one another as I have loved you. And remember to treat others not how they treat you, especially if they're treating you bad, but how you want to be treated. Amen. Jesus just didn't say that just, hey, by the way, if you just want to love somebody like I loved you, you know, go for it. No, it's a commandment. He told us, love one another as I have loved you. That means he told us to do it. That's what we do. Amen. Amen. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who have celebrated their birthday this past week, the first week of December. Or if you're celebrating today, my favorite day of the week, amen. So my sister Carmen, she celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Reverend Joseph Stevens, my cardinal, celebrates his birthday on the 9th. Is that today? I think that's, yeah, that's today. Oh, Lord, Reverend Joseph Stevens, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, amen. John, he will be celebrating his birthday on the 15th. That's Pastor Jonathan Tate's son. And my sister, Deaconess Anita, will be celebrating her birthday on the 31st. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. All right? Last but not least is your devotional for today. And it's entitled, To the Principal's Office. Amen. To the Principal's Office. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You all know I love his devotionals, and that's why you get them. Amen. So it reads, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 6. I was in eighth grade when I got sent to the principal's office. I had crossed the line with my teacher due to excessive talking in class. She had had enough, and off I went. Going to the office typically, meant one of two unpleasant things, swats with a paddle or after-school detention, which is essentially 2 hours of a timeout. My friend Mike was my partner in crime on this occasion, and he was sent to the office with me. Neither he nor I wanted to stay after school for 2 hours, for 2 days of detention hall, so we opted for three swats with the paddle. Mr. Sheridan, the associate principal, had the honors. After warming up on Mike, he went to work on me, heartily applying the Board of Education to my seat of understanding. I got the spanking of my life that day. It hurt, and it got my attention. And on the sidebar, as I was reading this, I was just thinking about Pastor O, how he always tells the story about when he used to get spankings, his dad would tell him to go hold the pole down in the basement. So when I was reading that, I was cracking up like, oh, Lord, got paddled to the butt, okay? But this is called the discipline of God. Every Christian knows about the discipline of the Lord. We have all been sent to the principal's office, so to speak. God is a good and loving father. When his children sinfully wander from him, he is faithful to lovingly go after us to bring us back in line. He disciplines us for our good. Sometimes the discipline is detention hall in the belly of a great fish, and you can read the book of Jonah about that. Sometimes the discipline is a pigsty, a la the prodigal son. Okay, you can go and read that. But here's the key. How do you respond to the Lord's discipline? There are two wrong ways to respond. One, you regard his discipline lightly. When you do this, you are basically blowing the Lord off. You have no intention of letting the discipline change our behavior. God forbid that we would ever regard his discipline in a flippant, irreverent manner. Or number two, you faint when he disciplines you. When you do this, you are basically taking his reproof to such an extreme that it debilitates you. With this response, you find it hard to keep going because you have displeased the Lord. Those who faint when reproved tend to feel as if they are damaged goods and don't deserve to live. I have found that Christians tend to gravitate towards one of these two extremes. We either think lightly of sin and its devastating consequences, or we beat ourselves up over sins and failures to the point that we cannot enjoy the Christian life anymore. So how are we to respond properly to the Lord's discipline? Well, one, you need to receive it. Don't blow it off. You need to let it in. acknowledge your sin to the Lord, recognize what you did was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the discipline was just. Number two, you need to learn from it. God doesn't discipline us to destroy us. He disciplines us, again, for our good. He wants us to acknowledge and confess our sin, accept his forgiveness, and move on down the road with him, being careful to go and sin no more, i.e., don't give the devil a place in our lives in this area any longer. Discipline is a good thing. Remember, discipline from the Lord is a good thing. It shows that he loves you. It shows that you belong to him. A good dad disciplines his own children, not the neighbor's kids. There is a reason why many people, you know, can just be in sin without feeling the displeasure of God. It's because they don't belong to the Lord. Abraham's nephew Lot felt his righteous soul tormented day after day, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, while living out the will of God in Sodom. He was a genuine believer who felt the sting of disobedience every single day. So the next time you have the Lord's loving discipline come to your heart, thank him for it. Receive the discipline and learn from it. Let it do a deep work in your heart to draw you nearer to the Savior. Discipline really is a good thing when you respond to it correctly. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements. That was not a mini sermon. That was an entire series of a sermon. And y'all going to have
so
to pass off
put numbers
basket.
On it.
Yes, that was a whole series, okay?
That's a part 1 through 10.
Yes, seriously.
Well, you know, it's Christmas time. It's the time for giving.
I'm telling you, and I gave it too. Goodness, I gave it. Lord, have mercy.
Amen. But you know what that lady sitting down the row say, well, you can't never get enough of Jesus. You can't never get enough of Jesus.
Can't never get enough.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And, you know, it's Christmas. It's the season of giving. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I'm giving a whole lot of gifts out for Christmas. The temptation say give love for Christmas.
Hey,
there
you
I'm go. Giving out a whole, I'm adding people to the list.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, I went and picked up a whole lot of love yesterday. I love love. Don't call something. Amen.
See,
well, it do call something, but Jesus paid Christ.
It
so anyway, I
sure
just got to give it out.
Amen. That's it.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Tell my little brother
Absolutely.
I say what's up.
I sure will. Amen. I sure will.
All right. Be blessed, my sister.
Amen. Love you.
Amen. Love you, too. Amen. This is great. This is awesome. Amen. From Pastor Janice Tate, you know, with that awesome Bible class, I'm telling you. And just for those of you who missed it or whatever, you can always get them there. Always recorded and archived, like Crystal say. And they're free, so you can get them 24/7, 365. Amen. I want to thank who did the scripture and the what you call it thing. I think that was Deaconess Rebecca. Amen. She usually be doing altar call, but now she done flipped. She double dutying. Amen. That's okay though. I want to thank her for that, and want to thank Pastor Sarah Tate for that altar call, and especially Pastor Terrence Tate for that word. Amen. I often send out this request to share Jesus. Amen. And of all the giving that we going to give, you know, some of us, we might not even have the funds to give, and we're hoping and praying to Jesus to be able to get some money so we can participate in the part of giving gifts to other people. Amen. Jesus don't cost a dime. He paid all it cost to have him, to be able to give him to somebody who needs him. Amen. He paid the whole cost. You don't have to suffer no loss. You can walk up and offer Jesus to somebody like a rich boss. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to try to go further with that because the rhyme might run out and I'll start sounding crazy. But anyway, share Jesus. Amen. Share Jesus. Talking about I ain't got nothing to give, and you're a Christian. Are you kidding me? Give somebody eternal life. Amen. Share Jesus. Amen. He is the gift. Like Bishop Cousin Eddie, Clark's cousin, Clark Griswold Cousin Eddie. Amen. Like Bishop Eddie say. It's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. Amen. So present Jesus like he's the jelly of the month club, the gift that gives all year long. Okay, this is going all kinds of crazy. God bless you. God keep you. Remember, be happy. Now, we know, okay, I'm telling part of the upcoming show, but anyway, we know Jesus wasn't born on the 25th, but that's the day that Pope Julius decided to, that Christians would get involved with Christmas. Amen? So since we chose this time of year to remember the greatest gift ever given to mankind, Jesus, amen, let's be happy. Stop being sad about anything. Be happy. Rejoice. And don't wait. Stop waiting until you come out. Amen. Do like Paul and Silas. Praise your way out. That's how you get out. You praise your way out. You get to praising God while you're in that tore up from the floor up situation. He'll tear up that situation to save everybody around you. Amen. I'm trying to preach, but I ain't going to preach. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful Saturday. This is the day the Lord made. He told us. He gave us instructions. The instructions say rejoice and be glad. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, the whole church said, amen. I want to pick up on Pastor Terrence Tate's sermon, amen, and end it with this song. Listen to the words of this song.
I am a man blessed beyond my dreams, but it don't mean nothing. Life's not good as it seems. Love and riches, what do they really mean? They may come and go, but you will never leave. So save your treasure. We find our pleasure. All our joy is in you. Just want more of you. So save your treasure. We find our pleasure in you.
You are our
reward. Oh, your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
And I'm thankful because
you are our reward.
Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Father, we're desperate for your presence. Like we need air, like we need water. More than anything, we need your presence.
We find
our pleasure. All our joy is in you. In your presence, that fullness of joy. Now your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So say, we found our pleasure. It's in you. It's in you.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm
faithful to call
you.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I said you.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful. I give you glory. I've got to give you honor. Give you praise. In your presence, that's fullness of joy. And your right hand, that's pleasures forevermore. Having you, it is plenty. That's simply means you're more than enough.
purpose is a gift. And I'm thankful because of you.
Presence is the gift.